Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Kevin, Robert, it's time for your favorite things.
My favorite things.
I can go really low.
I can go really high.
And that's why we work, because we meet in the middle.
Right in the middle, Rob.
Is there a song called Meet in the Middle?
We should write it.
That would be great.
Yeah.
It's all about our voices coming together.
That's deep, nice,
dark, resonant tones of my
sweet, light, tenor-y overtones.
And at this point, iTunes has pulled the podcast. There's literally a podcast about miming that's doing better than us. Mimes. Mimes. They don't talk. It's 49 minutes of dead air with a 30-second Wayfair ad in between.
Amen.
They get a sponsor, and they get more listeners than us.
Hey, we've had some good reviews, though.
We appreciate our reviewers.
Oh, my
God.
Goodness.
At this point, I think we have 90 reviews,
yeah,
even for that big
100.
Old 100, and they've all been
That's
wonderful,
really cool.
And we thank everybody for their love and their support and their
encouragement. We've been going for a good long while now.
We really have. We really have, and people aren't sick of us just yet. And
thank you for listening.
And we've got some exciting guests coming up. And
yeah, I'm really excited
about
that.
We've got some good people, and we thank you guys for everything, and yes.
What are your plans this summer? Now that we're probably halfway through summer by the time we talk about this, but
No. I think we'll do that. We'll put this on early.
All right.
We'll put this on early. My summer plans are in no particular order. I will go through this as fast as I possibly can, and I hope people are paying attention.
I am.
Here we go. I am going off to the Millbrook Playhouse, where I'm directing Spamalot, which I'm very excited about. And then at Feinstein's 54 Below, where I am one of the programming producers, we are doing, my musical theater fans, are you ready for this?
Ooh.
We are doing Charles Strauss and Lee Adams, a Broadway musical.
I know you love it.
Which has not been heard in 40 years. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
I gotta get tickets to that.
You're always welcome. Get a comp. Then I'm doing in August, Bandstand sings the big band. So the cast of Bandstand is going to sing songs from the 1940s.
And is your friend going to...
Yes, he is. Andrew Legere, who made his Broadway debut. I'm so proud of him.
Yay, Andrew.
I'm so proud. And he's such a great listener of our podcast. And then Jen Tepper and I are doing... this is going to be fun. It's going to be the Broadhurst Theater's 100th birthday this year.
Oh.
So we are doing Broadhurst at 100. It's going to be a centennial celebration where people are going to come back and sing songs and tell stories about working at the Broadhurst.
And I'm going to be there.
And you're going to be in it. Oh, my God.
That.
You're going to be in it. Duh.
The first show.
Gonna be
no,
in
I mean.
You're going to be in it. We also have Wayne Cilento is going to be in it, who choreographed Wicked and was in dancing.
Yeah.
Carol DeMoss, the original Sandy from Greece. And then we've got Aaronson Flaherty recorded a message for us, which is very exciting.
Walter Bobby?
Walter Bobby came in a couple of days ago and recorded Mooning from Greece.
That's cool.
Which is really
I feel
exciting.
Like he sang it a little bit when we
Yes.
He loves singing that song, doesn't he?
He was ready. He did a vocal warm-up beforehand.
Okay,
I was
Walter.
Very impressed.
Okay, Walt.
Then September 9th, I'm just running through this as fast as I can. I'm sorry, it's like promo time.
I love it.
September 9th, we're doing Sugar. 54 sings Sugar.
Sugar.
So it's Julie Stein and Bob Merrill score.
I forget Bob Merrill did that show.
Oh, yeah. And it's so good. And then we're going to do in October another Broadway-bound concert. Which is songs from musicals that didn't come to Broadway.
That's right.
I'm very excited. On John Lennon's birthday, we're doing, I'm directing and producing a reunion of the cast of Lennon.
Yes, with that our guest, Don Scardino, who directed
it. Ready for this concert? Don Scardino, Will Chase, Chad Kimball, Chuck Cooper, Julia Murney, Mandy Gonzalez. I could go on and on and on. The original cast is coming back. And then in November, I'm very excited. You asked me about my summer, but I'm just going all over.
Keep going, Rob.
And then in November, we're doing, I'm very excited, 54 Sings, Candor and Ebbs, Woman of the Year, where we're going to do a rotating group of women that are associated with Candor and Ebb to sing each of the songs.
Both women and men. Love it.
So that's
going to be fun. All those aggressive titles coming at us.
Shut up, Gerald. The grass is always greener.
See
in the funny papers.
When I listen to that Favorite Things and then listen to the album, I started laughing at every song.
I didn't even realize until Peter Felicio mentioned it. Peter's absolutely right. But I do love Woman of the Year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're lining up some cast for it. I'll give you a couple of names. I'm very excited. Bob Cuccioli from And the World Goes Round.
And our podcast.
Jim Walton.
And our podcast.
From And the World Goes Round and our podcast. And Christine Petty.
Oh, I've worked with her.
She's a sweetheart. Yeah. So anyway, we're getting some fun people for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's a November Woman of the Year. But a lot of neglected musicals coming back. What are you doing? What are your summer plans?
Nothing, Rob. Nothing.
You want to come be in some of these shows?
I got 88 cents. No, I'm going to sing your thing. I've got a couple things coming up, but they're not in concrete yet, so I really can't say anything.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, and I'm going on a family vacation.
Well deserved.
We're going up north. We're going up to the Canada on a cruise. That's about it for right now.
That's exciting. Good for you. You work so hard.
I'm excited to be around. Yeah. There are things like, you know, we do all these projects and there's things on the back burner that are waiting to come around.
Yeah.
But we'll just see.
I get that.
Yeah.
I'm just excited
to have the summer and for once I'm actually excited to be in New York City, to be honest.
Can we go on a road trip?
Yes.
Can we go antiquing somewhere and look for old cast recordings?
I was going to say, I'm curious how our listeners find LPs. I love nothing more than finding an old record. I was in Lowell, Massachusetts doing a show a couple months ago, and I found myself at this record store was only open from 11 till 4 during the weekdays, very well organized. I found almost every single Ben Bagley record that ever existed.
How much
I'm obsessed with Ben Bagley stuff right now.
Every time I go see a Ben Bagley record, they're always like more expensive
than
I'm willing
to pay. These were like 5 to 10, and I was going to buy, I bought like 2 or 3. There were 12 or 13 there. I wanted them all. I said, Kevin, you got to draw the line somewhere. You can't just buy them all. I wanted to. And for those of you who don't know, Ben Bagley, we've talked about him a couple times, but he, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, he put together these revisited albums that really only a couple of them have made it to disc. Most of them are really only on record, and they were very low budget, very no frills. He would get singers to come in from Hermione Gingold to
Katharine Hepburn.
Exactly. And they would get paid nothing, and they would do a one take, and that's it. But what you get is a very raw rendition of these songs. I just listened a couple days ago to the Noel Coward one, and they're songs that are forgotten songs that are really, really good.
Where did he get these songs from?
I think he had an arranger friend who helped.
Amassed it?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there was a small club of people who really appreciated this stuff. But he, in his liner notes, I took some pictures and I'll post them. His liner notes kill me. He's like, Ben Bagley lives in relatively obscurity with his cat in the Queens. If you want to send him money, he needs it. Here's the address. You know, I mean, they're very...
I'll send the money.
It's very, like, it's just wacky. And we've talked about him definitely with our interviewees.
Yes.
So anyway, I like finding that kind of stuff. Friends out there, I would love to know if you're a record collector, where do you find your records? Where do you go? Are you like Kevin Daly and just buy them on eBay? No, that's not true. Kevin actually will send me pictures of himself at flea markets. These records, yeah. Where do you find your records?
I will buy them usually at a there's a big place in Los Angeles called Amoeba Records. Have you been there?
That's where I got my Doonesbury record.
Oh,
that was
really?
Signed, but I found it for like $5, signed by Kate Burton and Gary Beach.
Yes. Okay, so this is, I don't want to
give... How excited? I mean, really, guys, is that big
I'm
a deal?
I'm excited.
But I was excited.
I mean, I don't want to give...
Amoeba's amazing.
If you've never been, it's in Los Angeles. It's in Hollywood. It's right on Sunset Boulevard. It's a two-story building, mm-hmm. massive, where they have... every single record DVD known to man from all types
right.
of genres.
And they actually
right?
have Broadway. I mean, some of those places don't. They only specialize in Metallica.
No. There's a huge, yeah. massive Broadway section. Now, here's the cool thing. I don't think they know how little they're marking the albums for.
I agree.
And a lot of New Yorkers migrated to Los Angeles, and then they gave up their record collections. So there's things there that are like, I'm going to be honest, I know that I've seen the Angel album there for $5.
What?
And I'm like...
How dare you?
But you got a Doonesbury signed by Gary Beach and
it was,
Burton.
And I remember I did Les Mis with Gary Beach, and I brought it in. I was like, Gary, look what I found. And he thought it was a riot. Because who really cares about a Doonesbury album signed by Gary Beach except you and me and...
Maybe Robbie
maybe
Rizal.
Yeah, and maybe Robbie.
And maybe Gary Beach. Not even Gary Beach.
Gary doesn't even give a shit.
He's like, I'm fine.
Even when I showed it, he was like, yeah, no, I guess I did that.
I guess I did. That's what I thought. I did that. I created that. That's so funny.
So I'm curious how people find, how you guys find your albums.
It's hard here for me, at least in New York, because there are some record stores that do have them, but they mark them up for a really high price.
And when we go flea marketing, you know, Sutton and I are very particular about what we find, because we say, oh, they overcharge. When you've done it a lot, you know when they uptick it a little too much, so... But it's fun. We'll have to take a little vacation this summer.
It's also hard because everything is digitized now. So I only will purchase an album if it's something I know isn't anywhere else.
Same. In fact, thank goodness this was a favorite thing, but castalbums.org, that website.
Yes.
I sit in a record shop and I love paging through old records.
Me too.
But I will get out my phone and search up everything. And I will only buy stuff, even if I've never... I found things that I didn't even know existed. And I will of course buy them because there's no CD of it.
I didn't know like here, this is an album that I picked up for like $1 at a flea market, and it's not on CD anywhere. The album says two rediscovered musicals. Side one is Shirley Booth in Look to the Lilies, and side two
Pleasures and Palaces.
It's Pleasures and Palaces.
Yes, Rob. I love this album.
Do you
that
have
you
the
have.
Same one?
No, I don't have this. I've secretly admired it
so
from
this
afar.
Is, the label is Blue Pear Records.
Blue Pear.
Oh, I never even heard of them from it. Longwood, Florida. It says a limited collector's edition. So they've never been... It's a studio cast recording. They've never been released on CD. So this is something that I will purchase because I'm like, I know I can't get it anywhere else.
Indeed.
And I do everything. I check all three. I check Amazon, iTunes, and Spotify. Yep. And if I'm like... It ain't on there. I'm going to buy it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Oh, interesting. How very interesting. Marvelous.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Marvelous.
So who wants to go first?
You know what? I'll go first.
That's right. You take a stand.
I'm actually very... I have not only my little 3x5 card today, I actually have a piece of paper. We've talked about it. I've saved this with you. I think you already know what it is because I've been wanting to talk to you about this show for a really long time.
Oh, yes, because you mentioned it a couple of days ago, and then you were like, I have to stop talking because it might be a favorite thing.
I did. I really literally did.
Lay it on me.
The Fig Leaves Are Falling.
The Fig Leaves Are Falling, which now, played at the Broadhurst Theater.
It did play at the Broadhurst Theater, and you have got to do songs from this show. This show is so good. The score is so amazing, Rob.
Get me a Dorothy Loudon
type. God damn it. It ran for 4 performances, and she was nominated for a Tony Award.
Who holds the record for winning a Tony Award for the least number of performances?
I don't know.
An actress. Who is it? Musical. Carnival in Flanders. Dolores Gray.
I love Dolores Gray.
Dolores Gray for Carnival in Flanders.
Are you serious?
Yep.
How many performances?
I think it was I think it opened and closed on the same night.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know she holds that record though.
She must have been really good. She must have been better than Dorothy. Dorothy Loudon had 4 performances, got nominated for a Tony Award for The Fig Leaves Are Falling. Mm. And mostly because of the song she sings. I don't know how to explain this. So what this is the nerd, I'm like pushing my glasses.
Kevin is so excited. I love when you get this excited.
I'm pushing my glasses on my back on the bridge of my nose because this is how nerdy I am. So I was away on a gig and I had more free time than I usually have. And I thought, I want to watch a Tony Awards, but what should I do? Let me study the whole season of this Tony Awards before I watch it. If that makes sense. So I literally went through IBDB, Internet Broadway Database, great resource, and I went through in sequential order all of the plays and musicals that existed, did research on all of them, looked them all up. I found all these musicals I'd never heard of, including The Fig Leaves Are Falling from 1969, and then I watched that Tony Awards performance, which just enriched that, and I'm also outing myself as like the nerdiest musical theater person alive.
I've never done that.
But it really adds to the experience of watching.
Beautiful.
It really does. But what I discovered was this score, this amazing musical. Let me give you a little context. It is on Spotify. There are 2 albums on Spotify. It was written by Alan Sherman, famous for
Hello Mata.
There it is.
Hello Fada.
Yes. He was a parodyist. I mean, he would write new lyrics to already existing songs. He was kind Weird Al Yankovic says that he got a lot of his inspiration from Alan Sherman. Alan Sherman also was a comedian and a bit troubled. I mean, he died very, very young. He was a bit of a drinker. He was married to his wife for 22 years, and then they split up after 22 years. And this musical is sort of autobiographical. It's about a man and a wife who have been married for over 20 years, and it's very much a product of its era. It's very much a Mad Men 60s musical. A theater company off Broadway tried to do it a couple years ago and rewrite the book and try to make it work. It's really tough because it's misogynistic.
Yeah.
He's this guy that's like, I want to sleep with my secretary. And so he goes fooling around with his secretary. He lives in Largemont, New York. He commutes to New York and, you know, Wall Street. Fools around with his secretary. The grass isn't always greener. And then he realizes, oh my God, I love my wife. Like, that's who I really want to be with, and I never really appreciated how much I you know, because I wake up every day and I do the same routine, and this woman changed up my life. But really, now that my life's changed again, oh my God, I remember how much I love my wife. Really, that's what it is. Mm. It is a bit dated, but it's exactly, you could say, reflective of Alan Sherman's life at that time.
Wow.
So what's interesting to me is there's 2 recordings. There's a demo recording that they clearly made to sell the show with Dorothy Loudon and a couple other cast, not Barry Nelson, who was in the cast. Alan Sherman sings the songs, and that's a good recording. But then there's this other recording, and both, I should tell you, both are on Spotify. Both of them are on probably Apple Music, whatever that you use. The other recording is the one I like better. And it's Alan Sherman in a nightclub setting. It's clearly 6 months or so before the Broadway production. So they don't know that it's going to be a big old fat flop. There's a lot of hope. And Alan Sherman delivers these songs in a very personal way. Mm. And I should preface this by saying that Albert Haig did the music, who did Redhead, Plain and Fancy. So the songs that I want you to check out, friends, if you can, all of them are just so good. All of My Laughter is the one that everybody knows. If you're gonna do a song for at the 54 Below, that's the Dorothy Loudon song. I want all of my laughter. It's so good. But the song that to me is truly, truly devastating is this song that Alan Sherman sings in front of an audience live called Today I Saw a Rose. Mm. And it's basically about waking up and smelling the flowers for the first time ever. And he's going, this is about this man who's going on his commute to work, and for the first time something changes and shifts, and he notices this flower in the same spot that's always there, and it has a profound effect on him. But the performance that Alan Sherman gives is so the second time I heard it, I was weeping because I felt his angst and his turmoil and all of the feelings that he has. And if that's not what musical theater is supposed to do, then I don't know what is. I just can't believe more people don't know about this amazing score.
So let's change that.
I think so. I'm looking at my notes to make sure I've said everything that I really, really wanted to say about it. You listen to the full demos. They're both on Amazon. If you want to buy them on Amazon, they're both on Spotify. Both of them are. It's fun to hear Dorothy Loudon sing the songs. It's fun to hear Alan Sherman sing the songs. You can go on YouTube. And one of the great songs that he wrote, and if you really want a really cool clip, check out Albert Haig, the composer, singing a song that was... Because Albert Haig played the teacher in Fame.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So they recorded him singing this song from The Fig Leaves Are Falling called Did I Ever Really Live? Sort of existential, you know, if you look back on your life type of song. As implied by the title of the song. And you see the composer actually singing the song, which is, it's devastatingly heartfelt and poignant. Obviously, judging from my excitement, I can't say enough about this show. Jack Lee was the music director.
There it is.
You know, my love for Jack Lee. George Abbott was the director of it. It failed. It's definitely a period piece. It is definitely a Mad Men era. Because of, you know, the way we dealt with women, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's misogynistic. But the score is so beautiful.
That's hard.
And if there's some way to encapsulate that, like we do with How to Succeed with Business and all these other shows that are time period pieces, I don't know. I don't know if it can be done again. I read the script of the new version that they tried to do off-Broadway a couple years ago. Didn't work. I just think the score is worth a listen, and I think that it is a really special piece. And, that's all I have to say.
Amazing.
That's all.
The Fig Leaves Are Falling.
Yeah, people, check it out.
We're going to put a song from it in the... I'm going to try to put All of My Laughter, but now you've piqued my interest about the flower song.
Oh, it's the live version, because he sets it up. He gives you, because he's got banter with the audience, right? And and he's talking, and it's so misogynistic, but yet this is this man's, he died like 2 years later.
Yeah.
So you know that this is a man who is struggling with life and struggling with trying to make sense of it. And the song is a direct reflection on that.
Mm.
It's like, sad.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to it. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I've pontificated enough. What do you have?
You know what? Like we say, we never talk ahead of time of what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Mine thematically is tying in, because mine is a musical of its era that I don't think it can be revived because of what it's talking about.
Uh-huh.
And that, ironically, is the show that I'm doing at 54 Below, and it's going to sound like a plug, and this isn't a plug. It's a Broadway musical. It's Charles...
I know how much you love this show,
okay.
So I am not... I know it's not a plug, Rob.
Okay.
I know when we interviewed Charles Strauss, and please, friends, go back and listen to the interview. It's a really good interview, if we do say so ourselves. You totally fangirled out on Mr. Strauss.
Okay.
While that happened. You did. And you tried to play it off, and you're like... And you tried to fangirl on Lee Adams, but Lee Adams was just like,
"Shut up!
I'm going to bed. Bye."
Lee, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You're like, Lee, we've only had you for 20 minutes.
I gotta go.
Bye.
Bye, Lee.
But I know, Rob, that you love it, and I know nothing, so educate me.
Here we go. Okay, this is it's got such a fascinating story, both offstage. This is a show in which the offstage shenanigans, I think, eclipsed the actual score itself. So for those of you that don't know, a Broadway musical was a musical that was written by Charles Strauss and Lee Adams. As you know, they wrote Bye Bye Birdie. They wrote All American. It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman. And Applause. I'm sure I'm forgetting. Am I forgetting one in there?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Golden
Boy. Yeah. Thank you. And then Charles Strauss, the year before this, wrote Annie. So Charles Strauss and Lee Adams get together with William F. Brown, who wrote the book for The Wiz, and they said, what if we wrote a broad... They said, we've been in a really interesting position. We are all three white men who have directed and created or have created stories about the African-American experience. What did you notice in your rehearsals, et cetera, et cetera? So they create a musical called A Broadway Musical, which is about a young African-American playwright who has written a play that is about the exploitation of humanity. And he takes it to a producer who's down on his luck. And the producer says, I love your play, but the only thing that sells nowadays are musicals. So we're going to turn your play into a musical. And they hire, and the playwright starts to compromise his ideals, right? But the musical follows how a musical is created. And one of the most interesting things is they hire a Sammy Davis Jr. type, like from Golden Boy, who they bring on as the lead in the musical within a musical. And he wants to sing his own songs in the show, and he wants more jokes and wants more patter. But the question is the playwright, how much is the playwright willing to compromise? And what's really cool is they get into some really good arguments between the Vegas superstar and the young African-American playwright, because the Vegas superstar is like, don't act like you're not African-American, because you are African-American. And every time you try to act like one of those white guys, you're embarrassing yourself. So it's also a play about racial identity. It's fascinating. The show started off-Broadway, directed by the African-American George Faison. The out-of-town tryout was at a church in New York City. They didn't do a legit out-of-town tryout. Their tryout was in a church in New York City with Helen Gallagher as the lead, and an actor named Julius LaRosa as the old producer. They realized this is going to be really, really good. It's dark. It's satirical. It needs work. And they're like, well, let's take it to Broadway. And somewhere along the way, they fire George Faison and they bring on Gower Champion. And now they're kind of getting into what the show is dealing with, which is an all-white production team putting on an African-American show. And Gower Champion is like, all of this African-American stuff is too much. Take it back, take it back, take it back. So the show loses all of its bite until it eventually becomes just a parody of putting on a Broadway musical. The show plays literally one night in New York. One night in New York City. Opens and closes on the same night. They never did a cast recording. This show has never been available for commercial release. No one has ever been like, let's go back and take another look at it. So I've always been fascinated by this show. I got my hands on a bootleg.
My jaw has been literally, Rob, on the floor this entire time.
And I listened to the bootleg and I'm going, this score is magnificent. This score is fabulous. It is like Strauss and Adams, I think, at their best. I think it's actually better than some of their very well-known shows. Yes,
really?
I'm going to say that.
Better than Nightingale?
How can it be better than Nightingale, sir?
Just some comedy.
So, yeah. Don't give me comedy.
Wow.
So anyway, I was like, we need to do this show again. I don't care how it happens. So I'm like, I'm going to grow a pair. I called Charles Strauss and Lee Adams. And Charles Strauss said to
us... You're the reason behind it being done.
So Charles, you remember Charles Strauss, he said to us, he goes, this score was really hard for me because I feel it was one of my best of my most personal, and it got so dismissed.
And it felt like he was almost like a little melancholy when he talked about it.
And I'm like, fuck it. We're going to do it.
I am so
So he
impressed.
Said yes. Lee Adams said yes. And we're putting it on at 54 Below. It's July 15th at 7 o'clock, 9:30. Let me tell you my cast for this. Jason Graw, Glory Crampton, Kyle Scatliff from Color Purple, Major Attaway from Aladdin, Clifton Davis from Aladdin, Neva Small from Henry, Sweet Henry, and a huge ensemble and a big orchestra. And I'm recording it. And we're going to record the audio with hopes that we will finally have an archived version of what I think is one of the best scores from the 70s. And even if for some reason the recording does not happen, it will go on to YouTube and these songs will finally get the chance to be heard one more time. Not 40 years ago. No one has heard this score for 40 years.
Huzzah!
So,
Rob,
like,
I'm so impressed.
Even if I sound like, I know it sounds like a plug.
No,
it's not a plug.
Don't say that.
Just wait for a couple of weeks and then it's going to be on YouTube and you're going to get to hear the songs.
For fans of musical theater, Rob, you are doing such a beautiful service.
Oh.
You are helping Charles Strauss and Lee Adams. You're giving so much and you're bringing to light, you're shining a little magnifying glass on a little piece of history that doesn't need to be lost.
No, it's real. And I'm being dead serious when I say this, guys. The score is absolutely wonderful. It's absolutely fantastic. There's some songs you should listen to, which I think are great. There's one called Broadway, Broadway, which is about what happens when you first get to the city with a dream. There's a song called A Broadway Musical, which is about how painful it is to put a musical on.
Didn't Charles sing that for us?
Yes, he did. There's a song that literally has me peeing my pants laughing called The Yenta Power, where the old theater party ladies get together
and say that
their opinion of what a show looks like is the most important. You might have heard this because it's been around for a little bit, a song called Smashing New York Times, which is, it's on one of the Unsung Musical CD. It's about how you do all this work and it can all be summarized or celebrated or dismissed by a critic.
Just like that. Yeah.
Just like that, it goes away. So it's a really magnificent score. Like I said, I've got a really, really great cast that's doing. I mean, Clifton Davis from Two Gentlemen of Verona. Like, I it's going to be so exciting. And even, like I said, even
wait.
If you don't live in New York City, that's fine because we'll post it onto YouTube. But I want this score to be heard again the same way you want Fig Leaves Are Falling to be heard again.
Well done, sir.
So I think because of the subject matter in our show, because if they were to use the Broadway text, it's very... There's a lot of jokes about ha-ha-ha black musicals.
Mm.
But the original script is really fascinating to me.
Question.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to be done. Are you just going to do songs with dialogue?
Can only perform for 70 minutes.
Right.
So we've got one or two lines of transitional dialogue to get us from song to song so the audience knows...
Context.
Like,
given circumstances.
This is where this is coming from. So right. We really can't...
But you're not doing the show. You're going to...
No.
You'll give the... Will there be like a setup? Will someone be narrating a little bit?
Yeah, we'll have a narrator.
Maybe you?
Yeah. Oh, gee, no, there's somebody else that I want that I'm hoping that we get. So fingers crossed.
Right.
No, but just one or two lines of dialogue to help
Brilliant.
Us transition. And
Brilliant.
I think the adaptation... is strong. I think you can follow
yeah,
the story and what's
totally.
Happening. But the first version, the one that was done in this out-of-town tryout at this theater, which I'm like, it was a church. I'm like, how did, on Riverside.
Sanctuary.
It was a church on Riverside. I'm like, that was your out-of-town tryout? It was biting and it was satirical, and I think it offered a lot of good questions. When Gower Champion got involved, it became very, you know... razzmatazzian. Get it? It's a comedy.
Well, yeah. He was a little... hello... Dolly.
Yeah. Which is fine. Which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But I hope that if anyone picks up the mantle from this, they use the original version, not the Broadway version.
Awesome.
But the score was pretty much the same, and the score hasn't really changed. And it's a great score, and I'm very excited to share it with everybody again.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
A Broadway musical, Strauss and Adams.
Yes. And The Fig Leaves Are Falling. Listen to them both. Or check them both
Alan
out.
Alan Sherman and Albert Haig.
That's right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Kevin, guess what?
What, Rob?
We now have over 50 iTunes reviews.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Indeed! Oh. We are climbing those iTunes rating charts.
That's amazing. Yeah. How do we climb even higher?
Can you take me high enough? Little Rock of Ages for you.
Did you know I like that you took it up so high too? You didn't even, you like went right to the tenor place.
I was going
to
do climb.
No Robert Goulet.
Like, no.
can you take me high enough?
Thanks for coming out tonight.
Ooh, and my falsetto there.
Thank you.
And a little Sergio Frankie?
Yeah, a little Sergio.
It's never over. Much like the 24-hour buffet down in the lobby of the Dunes Casino. Me and Sid the Caesar. Tonight's only at the Mirage. Sorry. Well,
lovely listeners, this is where you come in. This is how we're going to climb those iTunes rating charts.
That's right. Lovely listeners, if you love us, would you go to iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on Ratings and Reviews. Under the Customer Reviews, click Write a Review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
That's right. And you can leave comments, too, like Kevin Thomas is a god.
Or, Rob, who the hell is Hervé Villachez?
Who is Hervé? Oh my god! I fell for it.
See?
Again.
You fell for
that
it.
Wasn't even the
man
script.
Has never done one musical in his entire life, and he gets mentioned more than Stephen.
Right,
Sondheim.
But I love him from James the Bond. Okay, anyway,
oh, yes.
Guys, help us out,
please. Thanks, everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.